Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
We are in the middle of a series, and I don't want to stop, and I feel that we've landed right on the right day for the message this morning. And we're going to go to Hebrews 6. For those of you that haven't been here, we've been talking about the elementary principles of Christ. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles, really the writer of Hebrews is saying, I want you to move on from here because these are the basics. But the truth is, you can't move on unless you understand these basics. And he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. In other words, what I'm about to share with you is the basics. You should know it. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal and of eternal judgment. Over the last few weeks, we've been going through this from repentance to faith in God. We spoke about baptisms last week, the baptism of water and how powerful it is. And how every believer should follow suit. Once you've gotten saved, you should get baptized in water. And we saw that when we get baptized in water, we get baptized into Christ. In the same way that he was dead and buried, we also go under and we are dead and buried. When we come up, we also take place. We share in his resurrection. We come out of the water in him. We are a new creation. It's very powerful. Go and listen to it if you can. It's on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. But this week, we're going to get into the discussion of the laying on of hands. Now, I need to make it very clear right from the beginning. These are elementary doctrines. These are things that are basic. If I can ask you, if you'll be so bold, I just, for my own sake, want to see how many of you here have been taught on the laying on of hands before. Let me see a show of hands. Okay, about half of you. So around half of you that are here have never been taught on the laying on of hands. Now what I want to show you is that this is foundational. In other words, this is the first things you're supposed to learn as a believer. Now let me ask you this. Actually, let me not ask you this. Well, let me ask you this, but no one raised their hands. How many of you have been saved for more than 10 years? Don't lift your hand. I want you to just answer the question to yourself. How many of you have been saved for more than 10 years have never learned this? The laying on of hands as being taught. Okay, thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody, you know, what I'm trying to say is that it's not taught and it's a shame. Because the writer of Hebrews says it's foundational. And he actually goes on to say, we'll only move on from this if God permits. In other words, if you don't get it, we can't even move on. Because the truth is, unless you understand this road of these foundational principles, you will struggle as a believer, or rather, let me say this, you will struggle as a disciple, because you will struggle to step into what God has called you to be. Amen. So as much as I would love to recap, we've been spending a lot of time in worship, so we're going to have to get straight into it. I categorize these into three categories, three phases. The first being repentance and faith. Because when you get saved, the first step is repentance. And from repentance, you move into faith. Then from faith, you move into getting baptized in water and the Spirit, which I showed you last week. And then from there, you come out of the water and it's time to move on to even more. And the laying on of hands is next. There's no doubt that the writer of Hebrews wrote this in order of sequence. Now, understand that clearly throughout Scripture, or specifically the book of Acts, we can see that sometimes, with the exception of the first one, being repentance, it starts there always. But sometimes you can see people getting filled with the Spirit or baptized in the other order, and laying on of hands sometimes comes, and then everything kind of happens at once. But let's take a look at right from the beginning of the Old Testament, how laying on of hands is foundational and was practiced right in the beginning. Let me say this, and this is important. The primary purpose for laying on of hands is a form of impartation. It's a form of impartation. Now, you as a believer, you practice impartation every day. But you practice self-impartation. What I mean by that is what you watch, what you listen to, what you read, what your eyes and your ears hear is a form of spiritual impartation. It affects your soul and it affects your spirit. What you feed your body, food-wise, will affect your body, obviously. But in terms of sight and hearing, you are imparting to yourself all the time. Ask yourself a question this morning. What are you feeding yourself? Young people, specifically, be careful of the music you listen to. Because a lot of the music you listen to will affect your spirit and your soul very negatively. If you are feeding yourself murder, rape, hate, stuff like that through music, guess how it's going to affect you? You are giving yourself negative impartation that will cause your soul to get damaged. This is just the way it is. Amen. What you look at, movies, and I'm not just talking about pornography, I'm talking about any kind of bad, negative stuff that's harsh, it will affect you. It's a form of impartation. So you also have a choice as to what you impart to yourself, what you receive, what you listen to, sermons, teachings. When you're in the world, you study to become a doctor, a lawyer, you're imparting and you get knowledge and you grow in those areas. Can you all say that's no question, that's true? But there is another level of impartation which comes through the laying on of hands. Now, what gets given throughout Scripture? Let me give you a few things that we see through Scripture gets given through the laying on of hands. Number one, spiritual gifts. Number two, power comes through laying on of hands. Number three, blessings. Number four, authority gets given or passed down. Number five, wisdom gets given. We also see the Holy Spirit coming upon people through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit. Healing also gets given through the laying on of hands or is transferred through the laying on of hands. Appointing someone to a position of spiritual authority or in a position in a church is done often or most of the time through the laying on of hands. These are the basics. If we go to the Old Testament, let's start right there. This is something that's not new. Genesis 48, verse 13. Genesis 48, verse 13. Let's take a look at it. And Joseph took them, both Ephraim with his right hand towards Israel's left. Israel is Jacob. And Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right hand. And brought them near to him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head. You see, he took his hand, laid it on his head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abram and Isaac walked, the God who has led me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So we see Israel, Jacob, we see him laying his hands on his grandsons, playing a blessing over them. We also see, how many of you know the story where Jacob gets the blessing from his father Isaac? He tricks his father by persuading him that he was actually the elder son. And he blesses him. And it's through the laying on of hands that the blessing takes place. He puts his hands on his body and then he prays for him. He blesses him. So we can see already just there, right there, that there is an impartation. There's a blessing that comes through the laying on of hands. Now I want to say something here. If you have a relationship here with your father, your earthly father, be wise to get his blessing. Thank you for that one solitary amen. Because your father has something, yours, over you. Some of the things you're learning, he's already forgotten. And wisdom teaches you. When someone is at an elderly age, get their blessing. Get the blessing from them. If you have a good father, get his blessing. Amen. Just some food for thought. Is that okay? Now, let me give you a few more examples in the Old Testament. Numbers 27, verse 18. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man whom whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Who is it that instructed Moses to lay hands? God. God was the one who said, Moses, I want you to take Joshua and I want you to lay your hands on him. Why? Let me read it to you and then we'll talk about it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 34, verse number 9. Have a look at the result of the laying on of hands. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him. How did he get this wisdom? How did he get the spirit of wisdom? Through the laying on of hands. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded him. Why? This principle goes back all the way to the time of Moses. And he's still operating today in the church. God, how many of you know God had a relationship with Moses? It wouldn't have been right for everything that had been invested in Moses to go to the grave. What Moses had, his encounters, his knowledge, his wisdom, the spirit that was on Moses had to be given to somebody to continue to lead the children of Israel. So God said to him, I want you to take Joshua and lay your hands on him. And if you study it, you'll see so that the people of Israel would continue to follow him. They could see that he had had the spirit of Moses on him. The same wisdom, the same authority, the same ability to lead, the boldness had come upon him through the laying on of hands. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. That's okay. Let me show you how powerful impartation actually is. I'll show you now quickly something in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Watch this. How many of you know the story of Elijah and Elisha? 1 Kings 19, verse number 19. 1 Kings 19, verse number 19. Elijah goes to Elisha, and it says this. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him, now watch, and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and mother. And when I follow, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Okay, we're not going to get into all of that. But what I want to show you is that the prophet actually takes his mantle. Now, for those of you that don't know what a mantle is, most scholars will tell you it was his cape. It was a piece of clothing that he had on him. He took it off him. You know, I always have this visual of him taking it like this. Maybe he just grabbed it and he throws it on him. And the same spirit that was on him came upon Elisha. But it wasn't the full measure, because how many of you know that the mantle of Elijah came on Elisha later on? But immediately he knew he was called. Immediately he knew there was an impartation that was taking place and he had to train under this man. This is not new. This is from the old Bible days. If you think this is only Old Testament, let me give you an example from the New Testament. Let's go to the Apostle Paul, Acts 19, verse number 11. Acts 19, verse number 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body. Everybody see, it's from his body. To the sick and diseases. And diseases left them and evil spirits went out of them. So the anointing that was on Paul would even get on his clothing, to the point where he could send his clothing and it would be put on people and they would get healed and they would get delivered. This is New Testament. This is not Old Testament. So there is an impartation that can take place. The problem is, immediately, as soon as we begin to talk about this, people do this. They go, well, you know, this is Old Testament, okay? Well, we've already given New Testament example. But a lot of people get upset and they go, well, you know, I don't want anything from man. You know, why would God use a man? Well, God has been using men from the beginning. This was so much better in the first service. Okay. Let me explain it to you. Oftentimes we'll sit and we'll go, oh, you know, God would never do that. you know, those pastors, they get so full of themselves, those prophets, those, you know, these men of God, they get so full of pride, and, you know, they think that they're so great. No, they're not great. Remember, it's a gift. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. It's nothing more than a gift. In other words, a gift means it was freely given. They did nothing to deserve it. It was just was given to them, and God chose them to fulfill a function. Same as in a marriage. In a marriage, wives submit to their own husbands. That doesn't make the man the ruler of the house. It's his function as the high priest to minister to God and then to minister to his family. It's function. Doesn't make him a lord. Amen. Okay, let's move on. All right. Don't become one of those people that because of the way you think in today's life, not allow God to do what he has always done and lose out. Listen, when I get around my pastor from South Africa, I cannot wait for him to lay hands on me because I only see him once a year. And whatever God has for me from him, I need it. I want it. There's a spiritual gift that he will give me that I'm always so open to give. And I'll show this to you as we go on. Be open to this. Listen to the word of God. Is that okay? Let me give you one or two more examples and we'll move on to Jesus. 2 Kings 13, verse 15. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the bow, on the king's hands. And he said, open the east window, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrows of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrows of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. I want you to take note that Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. So he laid his hands on him for a blessing, to bless him, to prepare him for victory. Because there was something that the prophet had. What did he have? The Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. He was carrying something that the king needed to have this victory. So he laid his hands on him to impart this to him. If you study the story, you'll see that the response to this was so important. I don't have time for that now, but it's a powerful story. You need to go read it. What about the New Testament? So let's take a look at a few examples of why hands are laid in the New Testament. Let's start with healing. There's no doubt that hands are laid in the New Testament church for the sake of healing. Let me say this to you real quick. The book of Acts, there is no doubt that the book of Acts is an example for us as the church today that we should follow the book of Acts. The way they operated, the way they did things in the book of Acts. How many of you agree? It is not just stories. Those are not just stories. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, many people believe that the God of Israel, the Old Testament God, was mean and the New Testament God is full of love. Listen, they are not the different people. They are the same person. And he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just misinterpret. We don't understand his ways. I haven't got time to explain to you how God had to prove that he was the only God. It's impossible. I need many hours. But the book of Acts is our roadmap. It's all we have of what the church is supposed to look like. Therefore, what they did in the book of Acts has not ceased. It's impossible. Why would God start and stop it? There's just no way. It's not, my logical brain cannot figure that out. It is an example. It's a roadmap. It's directive. Paul said, imitate me. Do as I did. Follow what I did. How many of you know we should do what Jesus did? We should become Christ-like. Thank you for all those wonderful amens. All right, let's have a look at laying on of hands, healing the sick. We'll start with Jesus. Luke 4:40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Mark 6:5. Now, he could do no mighty works there except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Matthew 8:3. Then Jesus put out his hands and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 9:29. Then he touched his eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. So he was healed. Matthew 17:7. And Jesus came and touched him and said, arise and do not be afraid. Matthew 20:34. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. All right, it's very clear that it was through the laying on of hands that Jesus would do most of his miracles, most of the healings. What about the book of Acts? What about the disciples? Acts 19:11-12, which I've already read to you, which describes Paul's using his handkerchiefs and stuff, starts like this. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. So we know that God used hands, the hands, laying on of hands of Paul to do miracles. Acts 28:8. Then it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. We see that Jesus would pray for people with laying on of hands for healing. We see that the disciples would lay their hands on people for healing. What about you and I? Look at what it says in Mark 16:17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Everyone say, believe. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? All right. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. Look, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is a mandate to the church. Oh, no, it ceased. Really? No. God never changed. The church changed. We changed. We stopped believing. We don't even want people to lay hands on us anymore. Listen, I don't want everyone to lay hands on me. Sometimes it's not good. I don't want some person who I have got no idea what their fruit is. But if I know someone is full of the Holy Spirit, walking with God, I want everything He can give me. Amen. So there's no doubt that healing is a big part of the laying on of hands. What about appointing someone to a position of spiritual authority? Let's go to Acts 6:1. Acts 6:1. Are you guys okay? I know this is foundational and basic, but it's important. Acts 6:1. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of God, of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You see, there were coffee shops in the days of Jesus. I'm just kidding. Okay. I don't want your letter. Amen. All right. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. Then the word of God was spread, and the multitude and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So we see that even appointing someone to any position of authority in the ministry, watch this now, even taking care of widows was done through the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is not to be taken lightly. Have a look at what they said about the people that they would choose to do this responsibility. Men full of the Holy Spirit, men that have wisdom. Now, I want to show you when someone... Let's go to Acts 13:1. Acts 13, verse number 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Who is it that chose these men into a position of authority in the church to the level where Paul and Barnabas were? The Holy Spirit. Your degree ain't good enough. You have to be chosen by God to step into any position of authority in a church. It is a mandate that comes from God. Pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and apostles. This level of ministry gets selected by God. Look at how it happens. The Holy Spirit speaks, and that's when they do the appointing. I can assure you, Paul, and if you study it, this is years and years after his encounter with Ananias, and where he says that he's going to go. Paul even goes and tries things, and you'll see the persecution he suffers. It doesn't work out for him until he goes back to the church. And while he's in the church, they appoint him as the Holy Spirit releases to go and do the work of the ministry. But there are too many people that want to step out of line. Oh, I don't need the church. Oh, you need the church the most. You need the church the most. Why? Because there is a call on your life and God does want to use you. But there is a season of preparation. There's a season of prayer and fasting and dedication and hearing from God and learning the basics first before He appoints you and sends you out. And you want that blessing. Believe you me, you want that blessing. I would not have planted this church if my pastor did not lay his hands on me and say, "Go and plant the church in Vero Beach." If he had not put his hands on me and ordained me and sent me out to do it, I would not be here today. But this is uncomfortable for us. We don't like it. It makes us get, how can this be? How can this be? Don't fight with me. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Now watch. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elder and the elect angels. Now this is a serious charge. I want you to see how serious this charge is. In other words, before all of heaven, I'm charging you, Timothy, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. Now look at this. Nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Now, the context of the text is very important. I don't have the time to share it with you. But if you study it, you will see that what he's referring to is appointing elders. In other words, people with spiritual authority in the church. People that have been put in a position of spiritual authority. You'll see later on that even the elders pray for Timothy and he gets gifts. So appointing someone into a position of authority in the church should not be taken lightly. Why? First of all, I want you to understand. When he says don't lay your hands, he's not talking about for regular impartation. He's talking about for the election of elders, of leaders. And the reason why is because, look at what it says. Do not lay your hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sin. Keep yourself pure, because if I ordain or anoint someone in a position of authority, I share in their sin if God hasn't chosen them. So don't get mad at me when I'm slow to appoint. Very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. But you can know if one of my leaders have their badges. Please stand up for me. Face the audience. See his badge? See that badge there? You'll see that all around the sanctuary are people with badges. They have been appointed as leaders in this church because we recognize their fruit. That's why don't allow just anyone to lay hands on you. You don't know where they come from. You don't know what they carry. And so we are slow to appoint. Or rather, let me say this, we are cautious in how we appoint. There are people that get appointed like this, and some takes a little longer. As God begins to speak, we release. We lay hands. As you will see today, we're going to call up some leaders at the end before we close, and I'm going to lay hands on them and give them their badges. Do you see the importance? This is not to be taken lightly. Amen. All right, let's move on because it's getting really late. But I'll finish when I'm done. Amen. What about spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are also given through the laying on of hands. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. So you can see there that Timothy was given gifts. Those gifts came to him through the laying on of hands. 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. So Paul reminds Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is in him through the laying on of hands. So there is something that gets given to you. There are gifts, gifts of the Spirit, which you can study, that get given through the laying on of hands. Now I want you to see in Romans 1 verse 11, we're going to quickly go there. I want you to see how desperate Paul is to get to the church in Rome. And he wants to get there because he's writing letters to them and they're getting impartation through his letters, but he wants them to also receive spiritual gifts. Have a look. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. When we impart spiritual gifts, it's to establish people. It's to establish them in the faith so that they can operate as the Holy Spirit leads. Listen, God can obviously do whatever He wants at any time. If He wants to do this without laying on of hands, that's fine. But the fact is, throughout Scripture, we see that it's through the laying on of hands that the Holy Spirit, that gifts are given. Amen. Are you guys okay? All right, I'm almost done. One more subject, and this is my favorite. There is no doubt, there is no doubt that the laying on of hands was one of the things practiced by the new early church to give the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice that it speaks primarily of the Holy Spirit upon, where the Holy Spirit would come upon them, where God would give His Spirit to people. You'll see that people are saved. Even in the Scriptures I'm about to read to you, you'll see they are saved because that speaks about their water baptism. And then after their baptism, hands are laid on them and they get the Holy Spirit. It comes upon them. You cannot deny this because it's scriptural more than once. Let's take a look at it. Acts 8 verse 14. Acts 8 verse 14. And this is the story where Philip goes into Samaria. Philip's been in Samaria. He's been preaching. There's been a powerful move of God. People have been touched and saved and delivered. The Bible says the demons screamed out of many were healed. And look at what it says. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet He had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they had been saved, they had repented, and they had already been water baptized. But they had not yet received the Holy Spirit, so they went down to do that. And it says, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So the laying on of hands is also used for the baptism of the Spirit or in the Spirit. Acts 8:18. I want you to see the result of this. This is powerful. The result of this. It says, and when Simon saw through the laying on of hands, from the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands might receive the Holy Spirit. This is so powerful. So you want to tell me that the thing that someone in the Old Testament, not in the Old Testament, in the early church days, was willing to pay money for, we say it's not part of our church anymore. Before this event took place, there was demons screaming out of people, healings taking place, deliverances taking place, people getting water baptized. But Simon the sorcerer sees John and Peter come, lay their hands on people, get filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, what do I need to get that? How much can I pay for that? And you study scriptures, it's powerful what happens. But the point I'm trying to make is this is the very thing that we've said as the church, we don't want it. But they were willing to pay for it back then, or wanting to pay for it. You can't pay for it. It's free. It's the gift of God. It's free. Amen. Acts 9, 17 to 18. Then Ananias went his way. Ananias was just a normal guy like you and me. He wasn't an apostle. He was no great prophet. In fact, we don't hear anything about him after this. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, this is laying his hands on Paul, the apostle, Saul. And he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight. And at once he arose and was baptized. So we can see that it says there, through the laying on of hands, he received his sight and he received the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts 19, verse number 5. This is the last scripture I'll use this morning. Now, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized in water. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Church, this is foundational. But yet, half of us here this morning have never heard a teaching on the laying on of hands. And when I asked, have there been people that have been in church for 10 years or more that have not heard this? People put up their hands, and many of you know that you've never heard this. I tell you the truth, this teaching has challenged me as a pastor. And it's foundational. It's not about the person laying hands. All the person laying hands is a conduit. He's a vessel. But he is no better than anybody else. But God will connect you. This is what people don't understand. God will connect you to a church, to a ministry, so that you can fulfill your destiny. Because there is something that you need from that ministry to be a part of in order for you to fulfill your destiny. Part of that is spiritual gift. Some of you will get filled with the Spirit for the first time. Some of you will receive healing. That's why the church comes together, so that we can be equipped to do the work of the ministry, so we can step into our destiny. It starts, foundational teaching starts with repentance, faith, baptism. Baptism with water, baptism with the Spirit, and then the laying on of hands. Why? So that the church can be equipped to do the work of the ministry that we've been called to do. Amen. I would love to lay hands on everyone right now, but it's already late. It's the Feast of Pentecost. We have 3 nights, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. We're going to have an incredible time here. And I'm going to ask God to give gifts. I'm going to ask God to fill people with the Spirit. I'm going to ask God to set people free. I'm going to ask God, we're going to trust God for breakthrough, for blessings, for miracles, for whatever He wants to do during this feast to release to you. You can decide whether you want to come or not. But many of you, your faith has increased this morning because now you've heard the Word of God. I added nothing to it. It's basic. We need the church. We need each other. That's why I will never leave my pastor. I will not leave my pastor. Because I know God connected me to my pastor, Pastor Harold. Do I worship and idolize him? Absolutely not. I would be a fool if I did that. But God connected us. And I'm thankful for it. Man, you guys are so precious. God is so good. Amen. God is so good. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are so thankful that you are here, Lord. Father, we just are so in awe of you. I don't really have words to say, Father, except that we are just thankful and expectant for what will happen the rest of this week. I pray, Lord, that your word will change our hearts and draw us even closer to you. Father, our motive and desire is to be led by you in everything in our lives. For we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And we are led by your Spirit. Father, let every life in this place, every precious person, let them come to know you even more. To discover you more, your goodness, your love, your faithfulness. But Father, that we are in a season where you are calling your church to the fullness of what you have for us as a body. Let us step into it, Father. Don't allow man to get in the way of what you want to do, Lord. Don't allow us to get in your way, Father. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Lord, in this church and in our lives as people and in the nations, Father. Have your way. We just love you so much. Now I pray, Father, for every precious soul that is here this morning, for they are yours and they are precious to you. I ask that you bless them, protect them, strengthen them, encourage them. And as they leave this morning, let them go with your peace, Father. Not as the world gives it, but as you give it. A peace that surpasses understanding. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you. In the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.